Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's reading comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. You know, in the olden days, when the gospel was read, it was read with such reverence in the church that folks actually stood. So I'd invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel today, if you are so able, and stand in either body or spirit. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Listen now to the word of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe in that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Please be seated. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, for this place together, for this time together. Lord, I ask that the words that you send from my lips go to the ears that need to hear them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you believe? Does that bother anybody? Opening an umbrella indoors? Yeah, that superstition has been around for, well, as long as umbrellas. And the main reason for it was, is because people were worried that by opening it indoors, you might break something expensive, or you might poke someone's eye out. How about this one? You know what? On the way to church today, I did not blow a tire out on my car. Knock on wood. That comes to us from medieval times. Many of the churches in Europe claimed to have a piece of the cross that Jesus was actually crucified on. And the parishioners would knock on wood as a blessing. How about this? Find a penny, pick it up. All day long, you'll have good luck. Good, yeah. Now, my grandmother would say, leave your luck until another day. And then I also had people who would say, find a penny, pick it up, all day long, you'll have good luck. Give that penny to a friend, Philip, and your luck will never end. Superstitions, why? Why do we choose to believe these different things will help us or hurt us? Jason Parker is a senior lecturer at Old Dominion University. He says the root of believing superstitions is something called adventitious reinforcement. Now, I didn't know what that was. I had to look it up. Adventitious reinforcement states when a person begins to worry something bad will happen, it will because of something they did. Whatever they did is believed to be the cause of the expected outcome. As Christians, we believe whatever the outcome of a situation is, we still have God's love with us and he's right by our side. More on that in a bit. So again, I ask you, what do you believe? Now, today's reading includes my absolute favorite disciple, Thomas. But before we get to him, I want to go back to the verses that were actually before today's reading. We're going to go back to the Gospel of John. I won't make you stand again. Chapter 20, verse 11. We're going to read some of the verses before today's verse and find out what was happening leading into today's verse. Verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Again, the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Who was Mary supposed to give the good news to? Who did Jesus tell her? Do you remember from the reading? She said, in the reading it says, go tell my brothers. But the actual word that was used in Greek was adelphoi. Now the translation of that Greek word, adelphoi, is brothers in verse 17. But there are lots of translations of the Bible. As a matter of fact, according to Bible.org, that word can actually mean brothers and sisters. I bring this up because in verse 19 we hear, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Can you imagine that scene for a moment? So it's been a week, Jesus has been crucified. Men and women who followed Jesus are in a room locked away. They are scared for their lives because they have seen what happened to Jesus, and they're afraid that's going to happen to them. So they are in a room locked away, and yet Jesus comes to them and meets them where they are. And he tells them, I'm here, I'm alive. And yet someone was missing from that group. Thomas is not mentioned the first time Jesus appears to the disciples. Why was he missing? We don't know. We can imagine. I imagine that Thomas was missing because of what he had seen. You see, crucifixion wasn't just killing someone. If the Romans wanted to kill somebody, they just chopped their heads off. It was quick, it was easy, and they were done. Crucifixion was done for two reasons in that time. One, it was done to make that person pay with the most pain possible for their crime. And two, it was done to set an example to others. You were crucified because the Romans didn't want anybody else doing what you were doing. And Thomas had watched this happen. He'd watched Jesus die in this terrible way. And maybe he just didn't feel like talking about it and being around with other people. And we don't know where his friends were, but when he finally meets up with them, they tell him what's happened. They saw Jesus appear to them in this locked room. And Thomas says, I don't care. I will not believe. Until I see it, I will not believe. When I was a kid, there was a magician who was on TV all the time in the 80s. His name was David Copperfield. Anybody remember David Copperfield? Love David Copperfield. If you don't know who David Copperfield is, he's this magician who would do TV specials. I mean, he'd do amazing things like make a Learjet disappear, or he walked through the Great Wall of China. And on one of the episodes, David Copperfield actually made the Statue of Liberty disappear. And that was on, I think it was at 9 o'clock. It was later at night. And I was not allowed to stay up that late. And I was mad about it. My mom said, don't worry, we'll videotape it. That's what they had before computers. And so she videotaped the special. And when I went to school the next day, all the kids whose parents didn't love them and let them stay up late, we're talking about how David Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear. And even though they'd seen it, I was like, I'm not going to believe it till I watch the videotape. I was kind of a doubting Donnie, I guess. Well, with God, this has happened in my life too. I mean, I've seen amazing things. I've had people tell me amazing things that God has done in their life. And there are still times that I go, yeah, right, I need to see it. My faith still fails. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9 is my favorite verse. It's my favorite verse in the entire Bible. If you don't know the story, a man brings his possessed son to Jesus for help. The boy immediately falls over, convulsing. The boy is foaming at the mouth. The man asks Jesus to help if he's able. Verse 23 says, Jesus said to him, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe. Help my unbelief. And then Jesus heals the boy. How many times have I said to God, Lord, I believe, but you got to help me with my unbelief. And I know I'm not alone. Mother Teresa was the face of the Catholic Church for many years. After she died, it was revealed that she would pray to God, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. In the book, Come Be My Light, a biography of her, we learn in her letters to her spiritual advisor that she was lonely, that she had doubts. She sometimes felt clothed in darkness. Yet she continued to trust God and to pray for help. So back to Thomas. Jesus talks directly to Thomas in verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And at that moment, Thomas got a little help with his unbelief. Now, we don't know if Thomas actually touched the hand or put his hand in the side. The verses don't say. I imagined he was pretty stunned, though. And the only thing Thomas could say was to look at Jesus and say, my Lord and my God. And God shows up in love. Let's not glaze over that. God and Jesus doesn't get mad at Thomas for asking questions. Jesus could have rebuked him. He could have said, come on, you were walking with me, you saw all the miracles I did, and you still don't believe? He doesn't. Jesus meets Thomas where he is, and he shows up in love. Instead, he says, come here, Thomas. Let me show you this is real. He helps him with his unbelief. And Jesus does the same with us. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to ask God those questions, to not understand. God loves us. And here's the amazing thing. Even if we ask questions, we are still saved by God's amazing grace. We can't do enough good things here on earth to get into heaven. That's a theme throughout the New Testament. You can do 1,000 good deeds every day for the rest of your life, and that's still not good enough to get into heaven. No, you are saved by God's amazing grace. Now, that's not to say we leave here and we go to every opportunity we have to try and do something nice or to help show God's love. We try to do those things as a way to help bring us closer to God. We try to help the needy, and respond to those in need as a way to bring us into a tighter relationship with the loving Christ. What do you believe? You know, there are things in your life you can't see, but you still believe in them. I know that's the way in my life. I cannot see inside my car's engine when it's running, but I can see how it moves my car. I cannot see the wind as it moves through the air, but I can see how the wind moves the grass and blows the leaves, and I know it's there. I can't see my wife's love for me, but I can see how it moves her with a ton of grace with all of my screw-ups. Jesus knows we will all question things we can't see. In verse 29, he says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." So I'll ask you again, one more time. What do you believe? Everybody in the entire planet has doubts. Not everybody believes. So friends, I encourage you today to be a believer. How do you do that? You have to practice. Number one, go to church. Keep coming to church. Keep meeting with people and knowing that you're not alone in following the risen Christ. Crack open your Bible once in a while. That's been tough for me. In Lent, in past years, I've given things up. This year, I actually took something up, and that was reading the Bible every day and doing a Bible study every day. And every morning, I've got it set on my phone. Verse of the day. When I wake up, it's right there. Many times my feet, what do you do when you look? Wake up in the morning? You might check your phone. So I read my verse of the day before my feet ever hit the floor. It has brought me closer to God. And finally, go to church, crack open your Bible, and pray to God. Talk to him about your doubts. Every relationship you have in your life that's successful is successful because you talk to the person you have the relationship with. It's kind of hard to have a good relationship with somebody you don't speak to. Talk to God, pray to him, and ask about the doubts. And friends, if you are in a period of darkness right now, that is okay. If you are questioning God, that is fine. He understands. As the old writer once said, without darkness, we wouldn't have a beautiful sunrise. So if you're in a period of darkness now, sunrise is coming. Ask God to be with you and to help you through it. And maybe you will go from doubting to declaring, "My Lord, my God." Amen.